Okay, well, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order for the JOCO First Joint Powers Board. It's right at 8 o'clock. We do have a quorum, so that is good. Yes, that is good. A little harder to get everyone down to QC sometimes, so this is perfect. So, welcome everybody. First of all, I want to welcome Mike Hansen, a freshly new board member. We're pretty excited about that. So a new face at the table. And Mike, you want to give just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My family's lived in Buffalo for 13 years now, I guess. Taught at Buffalo High School for 8 years, and since then I've been the principal at New West High School. So that's probably where you've seen me around.
How long are you running the board?
How long have I been?
Yes.
This is the fourth year.
The fourth year. Because you started.
Yep, going into our fifth year. Yeah, we started. New West began at the Bomber Mountain Center, so that's kind of how I met Claudia originally.
Yeah. 4 years of
time. Yeah. Wow. Getting there.
We are happy to have you and welcome.
Thank you.
So, visitors today, I'd like to go around and have you guys introduce yourselves, and so everybody knows everybody, and we'll just go around the room, and then the board will introduce as well.
Okay, Thomas, I'm with 307 at Radio.
I'm Kristen DeGuilar. I'm the administrative assistant for the Johnson County Tourism Association.
I'm Jerry Spearing, and I'm on the Buffalo Planning and Zoning Commission, but I'm here on my own.
Okay. I'm Barry Gary, the Mayor of KC.
Woo-hoo. Go ahead, Zach.
I'm Zach. I think I'm still a board member.
You are. Zach is renewing, so.
It only says June 1st. We're 2023.
Yep, he's renewing.
Claudia Todd, Facility Coordinator for Bomber Mountain Civic Center Economic Development, JOCO First.
Carrie Apes, Assistant Claudia Todd at the Civic Center, JOCO First.
Okay. Tom Knapp, own Tom's Tire Repair, and I'm a City Councilman for KC.
John Devanis, board member.
I'm Sham Edwards, board member. Wonderful. So looking at the agenda today, we got a couple things I'd like to suggest that we move around just a little bit. And then if you guys have anything you would like to change, that would be great too. But I'd like to consider eliminating item 2, which is just review and accepted minutes. We do have that down in the consent agenda. So we can remove that if that's okay. I'll ask for a motion for these couple of items in the end here. Another thing that I'd like to do is move the Sheridan College lease reference to the regular agenda because we have not yet addressed that, so we're not going to leave that in the consent agenda. So we'll move to the regular agenda. And I also would like to move the employee handbook to the regular agenda. I think we need to have one more conversation on that before we run that through.
So forgive me, nothing's titled regular agenda. Do you want that under old business?
Sure, we can move those to old business. Okay. Well, Sheridan College is going to move to new business, and the employee handbook will move to old business. How's that? So I would like to ask for someone to make that motion. I cannot. So to remove number 2... to move the Sheridan College to the new business and to move employee handbook to old business.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
New discussion? Any other changes? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Moved and seconded. Passed. Thank you so much. So we'll just move right on to the consent agenda, and everyone should have reviewed all of those documents in their packet. That includes the minutes, the financial report, and the staff report. So they accept a motion to accept those.
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion on any of those? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And that is passed. Thank you so much. Moving on to the Finance Committee. We do not have Rick here today. So I'm going to say he's not here to represent A, which would be reviewing anything else that he thought we needed to do with a budget. As at this point, we approved both budgets, so he is not here today to say we need to do anything different, so we'll just let that one go. He and I talked about the checking account and about the authorized signers, and so we need to do a whole new card. Everybody needs to sign that is going to sign again, and so again. So we need to decide who will sign and approve a resolution that we can type up and give the bank. So that's what our task is to determine who will sign. So we have expanded that list to be quite broad because we've had some challenges.
So I have a recommendation.
Okay.
That since Mike Hansen is pretty well easy to find.
Wow. She knows where she you live. Yeah. Thinking about that.
In fact, I'm going to put a leash on him.
Great.
No, but he's a pretty convenient local board member now. And yourself and Rick are all pretty accessible.
Okay.
For me and getting checks signed, but that's my dream.
So the executive board will sign for sure. So right now that's me, Tom, and Rick.
Okay.
Will be on there for sure. And in the past, we have added the other board members because it has been a challenge from time to time. Mm-hmm. So I know that Zach, you haven't been able to, which is okay.
It's a conflict.
And Mike, do you have a problem with that? Would you like to... Two or not two? I know you're brand new, and I don't know if that's something you want to do.
I don't have a problem with it, okay. And I would just check in with other folks before.
Sure. No, that's fine. And then, John, do you mind?
I was on it.
That's what I was going to say. I think you were. Yeah. So that would be great. So that would give us five. I think we're good with five.
That's fine, yeah.
So we'll need a motion for those five to go on the check card. And then if you have a resolution example, you should have one that you can use to...
The bank said we just needed to provide our minutes that showed that we put these individuals on our as our signer.
Okay. Rick told me a minutes and a resolution, but that's fine.
Yeah. He did mention resolution being.
Okay.
That's and then okay. He did say we needed it on the agenda, and then he also... He said he wanted to keep it to three, but...
Well,
it's very hard. I mean, I'm the more people who can sign, the happier I am.
That's a challenge we've run into with just having three. Okay, so that's where we're at. If we are ready, then we can.
But I will certainly look into the resolution letter for the signers.
Okay, and I have an example if you need one. It's no big deal. They're easy. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'd accept a motion to accept those five.
Make a motion to accept the executive team and Mike and myself to put on the check register for signing.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
And Mike, it's only for checks that are over $1,500 where they need dual signature.
A thousand. Yeah, it is dual signature. Yep.
Okay. Perfect.
Any opposed? That passes. Thank you so much. I'll expect that you'll get a hold of Rick and give him what he needs. So whenever you get those minutes, I can get them signed.
He did mention something, too, about Josh Keegan. But when I talked to the tellers, they did not say Josh Keegan was a signer on there. So I don't know why Josh would be a hang-up.
This is going to be a whole new card. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to remove. He just won't be on the new card. So it'll be okay. Okay, so the next item is accountant changes. As of June 30th, Branded Bookkeeping is going to no longer be our accountant. We've been looking at two. Claudia has visited back with Jennifer Schroffel to see where she would stand on that, if she would be interested, since she's done it before, and she did a good job and was timely. So we were exploring that. Not sure if she's going to want to do that or not yet. So we were also going to reach out to Alice Sweat and see what she thought about that and get some prices for the two of them. So that's just kind of an update. We hope to get that, you know, put in place here pretty soon. Everything's been reconciled and taken care of for May. John is still on till the end of the month, and he said he would help with the transition, so I'm not worried about that. We'll just try to get somebody on board just as quickly as we can, hopefully within the next couple weeks. Any questions about that? Concerns? Suggestions?
Used Alice for years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, she's really great.
Good job.
So I think either way
I'm pretty reasonable, too, I thought, in general.
So, either way we go, I think we'll be just fine. Okay, so moving on to the Facilities Committee.
So, John and I have met pretty much every week, pretty close, going over some of this and kind of getting started. There are a few things that we need to deal with that we would like to bring forward to the board. Basically, working with Bomber Mountain, we've looked at the fire panel scenario, and we have two options there, two pieces. One is what we have to be in line with what the fire marshal wants, which is an upgraded fire panel. That is $29,918. And we would like to move forward and consider that for approval. But we would also like to move to see if the city and county would like us to use, if we could use the money that has been set aside for the fire stuff in the past, which is basically they had money set aside, approximately $420,000 for a sprinkler system, which did not move forward. It is still available, and we would like to see if we could use some of that to move this. We have to have this to move forward. The second part is if the school moves in and starts having classes. This is an addition for that. It's $39,162. At this time, we would recommend not moving that forward until we know more about their timeline and work out some scenarios about what they need and go forward there. So we would like to see the first part done because we have to have that to keep going. So I feel like we need to set up a window to visit with the city and the county and see how they would feel.
Okay.
The other part we brought forward and mainly the scenarios that we're really looking at now is Meadow Mountain Wool.
Can I interject? Yeah, I'm sorry. I have one more comment on the fire panel. And maybe somebody can answer this. I don't know. So the first is just the panel, just to be clear. The second adds enunciation.
Yeah.
The verbiage on the very first page says educational use. Do they classify the culinary classes that are going on by the school and that as educational use, or are they talking about like if they were to have a lease and
occupancy?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's great. Sorry. That's all I needed.
Okay. Any other questions on the panel?
And just to make it clear, it's digitalize it instead of being whatever this is now.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanical?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Moving on to Meadow Mountain Wall. We have roof issues with Meadow Mountain Wool leaks, and we got estimates from two companies. And Dave Loden Construction did do some temporary repairs, and in both, which we've had these. I think all of you have copies of the estimates and stuff.
Right here.
Yep. So what has happened with that is the roof ridge leaks, and basically between the two of them, WTI and Casper and Loden, Loden Construction did not give us an estimate to fix a temporary repair. Their scenario is pretty much fix the roof. They did say they would do some temporary repairs. They didn't give an estimate or a description They just said at our normal rate. The gentleman in Casper gave a proposal for $13,447, and it would recover the ridge, which basically is the trouble we've always had. The biggest problem with it is that would solve the ridge problem. I don't think permanently. Of course, permanently would mean redoing the whole roof, which at this point is not economically feasible for where we are. I would like to look forward to moving that $13,447 to a request for approval, but I would like to table that to the next meeting to get some more information from the guy in Casper.
Okay.
But that's where we are with that. The other thing is some other footnotes with Meadowmount Wool. In the month of July, the rent will change from $7,252 to $8,280 per the lease agreement. We would also like the board to have a discussion, whether it's this meeting or the next meeting, moving forward on some proposals that maybe Meadow Mountain Wool would be interested in taking the facility over, like lease to own, mm-hmm. or something like that. That building has become just pretty hard to manage. And we would like to look at some things that maybe would help them and help us. We would also, during that discussion, have to work with the county commissioners on how that would move forward. As some examples, property tax for that facility is $13,630 a year. And we seem to get periodic lists of repair. John and I are going through them now.
For updates.
Yeah. And we're just coming to the point where we feel like that it would behoove the board to discuss some options that maybe would help us and Meadow Mountain Wool.
Right. Still have an income, but let them take it over for long-term towards the purchase.
Yeah. I think John is going to visit with Rick some. I think Rick's worked on this in the past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe then we can come up with some things that would work for them. Maybe not, but it's certainly worth a discussion. So those are the things that we've moved forward.
I mean, if when you look at the list of things that he's requested us to do.
Right.
You know, and it's all upgrades to the building to benefit them. It's like, you know, if they really, truly feel that way, let them put their feet in water and take it over. We'd save the property taxes and any of these upgrades that they want. And hopefully would, you know, give a long-term solution to us to have to worry about the maintenance of that place, but still collect income for however long we structured the deal.
But in the past, it's been very clear that the commissioners have a vested interest and want to participate in if that would move.
Well, I think that would be great if you want to follow up with Rick and see where he thinks we're starting at.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I don't see any reason why we shouldn't entertain that idea.
Yeah.
It's going to be whether or not they, I guess, are interested in
right.
being
there. Well,
can't hurt to ask.
Can't hurt to ask. And I think the key is you got to structure it so that it makes sense for everybody.
Right. Yeah. I like the idea of we can maintain income for a while, and then if they, whatever that deal looks like, if they have enough equity, then because maybe a portion would go towards their down or something.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know how
what
that
we,
would
yeah.
look
yep.
like. But,
yeah,
that would probably be good for both of us.
Yeah.
And allow them to kind of do, they got so many ideas of things they want to do and change and tweak and
right.
add. And
well,
and their business keeps model is changing a little bit, and they have other needs. So maybe it will be just be time.
And they've expanded so much since all this started.
Right.
You know, I mean, that at some point it would behoove them to maybe be able to do this.
That would be nice for them. Okay.
That's all we have. I do think we need to move forward with the commissioners in the city so that we can get that panel on the list.
Can we go ahead and make a motion to approve that, and then
hinge
maybe
it on.
Hinge it, yeah. Okay. Depending on that outcome of the conversation, that we can then not have that hold us up.
Okay.
As soon as they say, "Oh yeah, you can use that money," we can go.
Sure.
I know that there's this actual estimate expired.
Yeah.
It was only a 7-day life. So
that's pretty quick.
Because we'll need to go back to those guys, you know, once we get this figured out that we can use that fund, which I hope we could, and then we can get back a hold of those guys and
And I can touch base with them this first part of next week and make sure that the number seems mm-hmm. good. That mm-hmm. way we don't have to go back.
Yeah.
That would be great if we can confirm the bill honor that.
Yeah, and
number,
I'll do that.
And then we can.
I'll visit with.
So I make a motion that we move forward with the fire suppression panel to the tune of $29,900, pending on, you know, city and county approval of funds that they've set aside for the process.
I second that.
Okay. Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the fire panel?
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to ask a question. So is it, being new to this, is it true that it needs to be updated regardless of whoever is occupying?
This part, yes.
That's okay. What they told
yes.
us.
So yeah. if for some reason they said we couldn't use those funds, we'd still need to access
yes.
some funds to update
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Then we'd have to come back and address how we wanted it to move mm-hmm. that forward.
Okay. So the motion you're making is, at this point, is just to move forward with it
yes.
if
so,
we can access those
yeah.
funds?
Yeah.
So years ago, the city and the county had set aside, what was that, 100 and...
400 and...
It was a pretty good chunk of change to... Because at that point, they were telling us that we needed sprinklers and all this
sure.
stuff, which was a crazy number. And... Now, this is just kind of the minimal moving forward with all the upgrades
yeah.
we've made.
And we have ways to do it, I think, if the county and the city wouldn't let us. But I think it's a scenario where we probably need to have some more discussion to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that if they don't approve it, we would have to address it at the next meeting and go from there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hoping more to phase this in
mm-hmm.
towards the, you know, and then of course with the things that are to come, additions would be made as needed if other things come into play, then we can move forward again because that fund is still there. So that's our intent, is to establish we can use that fund. So as we phase this in,
and that money's. Was specifically earmarked for fire suppression.
Fire yeah. suppression sprinkler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was. And this is all part of that. It's required as part of that. So you have to have this to do that anyway. So it's just part of...
It's like phase one of...
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say we also had another estimate a while back from a company out of Casper. We're dealing with one in Sheridan because we thought it was closer. We did have this, and it came out about the same thing. He just did it all in one with over $60,000 as well. So we do have comparison, but it's not a big
yeah.
There's
change.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar when
yeah.
you all put it together. I just want to say we do have two different
companies.
So they're companies.
In the ballpark.
They're all
like.
In the ballpark. It is come out. The nice thing about Comtronics was he was kind of doing the no annunciation first, and then the other put it all together in a big lump sum.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we do have two comparisons.
Okay. We any more discussion? Ready for a vote? So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so anything else, Tom, that you want to add or
nope.
any questions?
Nope.
You know, I'd like to, and kind of this is directed towards Claudia and those guys. Let's when we start doing upgrades,
mm-hmm.
you know, like buying new hoods or stuff. Let's create a different piece on the ledger that doesn't show it as maintenance,
mm-hmm.
so we can kind of
yes.
track out. One of the things I was doing is as I was going through the financials, I was trying to figure out what's right. an average maintenance piece, right?
Yeah,
it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and I'd say let's take maintenance as, okay, we had to call the plumber out to fix the toilet. We had the electrician to do the compressor. But we bought refrigerators or whatever.
That's a different deal. Yeah.
That's an accounting issue. Well, going to change. That was a good time.
We totally agree with that.
Yeah. And that way we can just keep a better track of what's actually maintenance.
We're all for it. Yeah. We like that much better, too.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So we'll separate maintenance from improvements.
Yeah.
And that'll give us a better number. Perfect. Sounds good.
Do we need some kind of motion on this lump sum for the fridge?
For the what?
For the Mountain Meadow.
What for the roof?
I think I want to table it to see if I can.
To the I want to talk to the guy in Casper for sure. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to table that one. But it's coming.
So yeah. It's coming. Just like Easter. It's coming.
No, that sounds good. And I will add one other thing just to, when you guys are doing improvements in the building, I would say, I really liked the way it came about with the kitchen stuff. You guys put together your plan, you had your budget, and then when we all were able to talk and visit about that, and then everybody, as you continue to do that project, we all knew that was all part of that project. Mm-hmm. If you have anything else like that moving forward that you're wanting to do, put it together. I'm just saying, when you do, put it together the same way. That worked really well.
Yeah, and that was the last little piece that was missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew that was part of that original plan, but as we move forward, that was really good as a model. I'd say just do the same thing if you guys have a project or something.
Simple as the carpet, you know.
Yep.
Then it helps, and then everybody will be on the same page, and then as those things filter in later, they're like, oh, yeah, that was part of that.
Absolutely.
And I would say an example of that would be whatever you're thinking outside.
Okay.
That's an example. Whatever you're thinking, I would say that needs to come in a project.
Okay. Oh, we're,
for the plan.
Exactly what our goal is.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Just saying it out loud so then you guys, then I think the board will
appreciate it. Yeah.
And they will also appreciate that. So that sounds perfect.
Cost benefit analysis.
Kind of summarize that for me.
Okay, so
you'll be the next treasurer with talk like that.
we're gonna move on to old business, and so revisiting the employee handbook one more time. There's that one piece that I've asked everybody to look at, and I just need to make sure that everyone understands. So in the employee handbook, 8.5 addresses short-term disability. And the way that it is written in the handbook, if everybody is in agreement that we want to provide that, then you just need to understand that we don't currently have a policy or anything that provides that benefit. So if we want to leave that in the employee handbook, then we need to just be sure we understand that we're going to be needing to get some rates and find out how, perhaps how the county's been handling that particular benefit. Since that verbiage and language came out of their handbook, we've all said, oh yeah, we're good with all of those things, but I wanted to pull this one to the surface and make sure we understood. This one might constitute needing a new policy that covers it.
I would like to visit with the county first of how that works for them.
Great.
So that we don't end up with a surprise down the road.
Sounds good.
Agreed.
So
table it, maybe.
Table it again.
Yep.
Sorry. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Well, we should be following what the county's doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. So we can find out how they're doing it, and maybe we can, even if it is a separate policy, we could get some rates and bring that back. Okay. Sounds awesome. Good. And now, any other questions regarding that or anything else?
Who is the economic development coordinator?
Zach Smith.
In this policy.
You know,
it's in there like it's a defined term. And I don't know who that, and maybe I'd feel really embarrassed if it's somebody in the room. Raise your hand.
This is the thing that I didn't know what to do with that, because it kept calling for a title, and I thought, well, if I put facility coordinator, it didn't seem broad enough.
Is it Claudia?
It's Claudia.
Okay.
Because it didn't seem broad enough to me, but at the same time, I know we don't call her the...
I've never heard the term. So,
I know.
Okay.
And so, no, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm surprised no one else saw that.
And do we need to...
We can...
Does that need to be defined
in
here?
We can call that...
I don't know.
She's at the head of the economic, in terms of employees, at the head of the economic development, the board, the joint powers board, in terms as an employee that handles all of those things that come through as economic development. Now, she's also the facilities coordinator, but to me, it's broader than that. And I think in the direction that we all keep talking about, it's broader than that. So that's... That term, if you guys want to change it, we can change it to whatever you want. But really, the person who is coordinating everything for the Economic Development Board, I was calling the Economic Development Coordinator, because it just doesn't seem broad enough to say facilities coordinator.
You really should write that down next time.
So. Yeah, you need bigger business cards now.
I think you need
them. Yeah, they got to be longer.
Well, I was just
curious. Your card is 4x2.
This is my card now.
That's really where that.
Because it's capitalized in here like it's a defined term, but it's not.
And we can uncapitalize it if that makes it clearer.
It probably should be consistent across all the materials.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
It's consistent in the handbook. It is not consistent outside the handbook. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is actually something that we've needed to talk about. We just haven't got there.
So if the goal is to get the handbook approved in the near future, is that what we're looking at?
Mm-hmm. Get the handbook approved, and then we can, as that is approved, and then everything can be modified to.
So if Claudia's official position is facilities coordinator,
it used to be from when I started.
I guess either her
got changed.
One of the two things I think would need to change, either what it's outside of the handbook, what Claudia's called, or inside the handbook,
right,
just for the sake of consistency, so the handbook's referring to the correct thing.
Mm-hmm.
But being new, I'll defer to what anybody wants to do on that.
So we can do that however we would like to. I can uncapitalize it, or we can...
For right now, let's uncapitalize it.
Okay.
I'm fine with the term, and I think it makes sense to... have something more than facilities coordinator.
Yeah. But I think when we do that, we also need to realize that there's going to be a lot more than just change. We're going to have to add to this to change the name.
Right. Right. And
we'll
that's
have materials and. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds great. I will do that. And then new business. We moved Sheridan College lease. That came up really quick. The Sheridan College lease does come to term, basically, the end of the month. The budgets have been all set for this year. Everything is in place for this year already. Probably what we need to do is, again, it's following up with Rick, finding out how those conversations went in the past, if there's a reason why we only do 1 year, those kinds of things, and then revisit... what the rate is and look at that for the next fiscal year before they are setting their budgets, and see what if we want to make a change, we can make that change at that time.
And I give you also
you that.
See how, what the square footage is
exactly.
And then the lease behind it. I don't know.
Yep.
So I didn't see any option for like extending the lease a year or nothing, so we do need to get
it. We have to address it. Yep. For the next year, mm-hmm. I'm just recommending we keep the lease the same, but that we begin the conversation of looking at the changes for the next year, if there are going to be any.
That, you know, I've kind of mentioned this in the car on the drive down. I think think we need to have a conversation with commissioners on a bunch of these things to make sure that they're just in the same boat as we are. You know, so last year they gave a grant to Sheridan College that covered basically their rent with us, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, they've done that for the last few years.
Right, so it's like, to me, negotiating with Sheridan College is almost like secondary to what the commissioners are going to do. You know, and similar with some of this other stuff, I think it's maybe just time to get in front of those guys and lay some things out as far as, you know, Mountain Meadow Wool and this piece and, you know, their commitment to fire suppression and all the other stuff, you know.
The other deal with the lease with Sheridan College, I'd like to see something more than just every year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this... I'd like to see a 3-year with maybe an option for, I mean, mm-hmm. this every year deal just kind of.
And that's what I don't know when Rick visited with them before. I don't know why it's only.
I don't remember why either, but it should be
so,
longer.
Mm-hmm. I don't
It'd
know.
It'd be nice if we had something more like we did with mm-hmm. Mountain Meadow where it had a.
Yeah,
red escalation.
Yeah,
yeah. To get it up to market.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be right.
But I think first we need to see what Rick had moved forward mm-hmm. with, and because it's got to get done pretty quick.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom, can you clarify that for me? I don't know what conversation Rick was having.
Well, Rick was a treasurer, and he mm-hmm. was talking to the college about. We want to make sure he didn't commit to anything or change something.
Okay.
He was the chair at the time,
and we don't want to go down a road and then realize that there was some other
some kind of
discussions or verbal.
Got it.
Okay, we will follow up on that. But are we good with accepting where we are today and then negotiating for something in the future? So that this next year, because this year that starts right now, like I said, their budgets are set, everything's in place.
Yeah.
So we do need to move forward, I guess, with approval to approve this to renew for a year. We'll, of course, present them with that, but then we can talk about the changes
correct.
If we want to have any for the next year.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. I don't know that we need a motion for that.
I do agree with John in terms of... I think it was the partnering piece that we created on our flowchart, though,
mm-hmm.
where we're to have more collaboration with both city and county mm-hmm. on
absolutely.
Some of those items. I don't know.
That's a tough goal.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay,
they've got the first one.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Then I will follow up with Rick and find out the answers to those things and then see what we can do and get something in front of the college here directly and then begin those conversations.
Do you think, just in terms of moving forward with that then, so if there's no verbal agreement or anything that Rick's
mm-hmm.
talked with Wendy about, can we have Claudia start to draw up something that's mm-hmm. maybe a 3-year?
Yes. Yeah, right.
Yes.
And then that way when we come back in July, we have something to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that. We can move forward with some ideas of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I think everybody's good about sitting down and talking these things out. So I think it'll be just fine. But we can start on that right away rather than waiting. We don't have to
wait. I think that'd be good.
We can have some good planning there.
And I can circle that around and see what you guys then added to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds good. The next item under new business is training and travel for staff and board, if it ever came up, having a conversation about that. You guys, I know you went off, you did the training for economic development down in Denver,
mm-hmm.
and that was great. One of the things I think that we probably would appreciate maybe is knowing when you guys are going to travel out of town for an extended period of time as a whole board,
mm-hmm.
and maybe doing... if not a presentation or an email or something that explains what the opportunity has come up, what it is, and what that's going to take in terms of being gone.
Okay.
And so, and then if we can send one person, not two, that's awesome. If we do need to send both, we can evaluate that and talk about that as a whole board, if we can plan ahead for some of the bigger training and travel opportunities that come up. I think that would help us.
And I would like to see, if both of you are going to be gone before you leave, a plan of how the building's going to be dealt with.
Okay.
Rather than, so okay. We know that things are taken care of, phone's okay. Answered. Okay. So.
Well, the phone we took with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't help you much when you're in Denver, though.
No.
No, that would be great. And I think that was just the training and the idea of that. That's all good. That's yeah. All great. Mm-hmm. It was, but it's like afterwards we're going, no, but what about this or that? And then if someone did come in and need to reach you guys, I don't know if they just called you or if they just, I don't know how that planned out or how that worked out. But that would just be helpful. And then maybe we can all work together mm-hmm. to figure out how sure. to cover or what we might need to do. Right. If there is something we need to do to help mm-hmm. as a board, okay. We can do that. So, but I would say, and as if you're going to be out of town or gone for an extended, that would be really helpful. So,
is that something that you'd want written up, Shan? Like procedures for, you know, what we do in their absence, and then also procedures for the professional development in terms of coming back and reporting what they've learned?
We can sure draw that up. I think that we can put something together. So there's at least some level of expectation of maybe of what we want and, yeah. and when we would need it. That would be good. And then maybe how, so that we do, like, because it's like this time, I didn't really allow for a reporting out on the training. And, you know, maybe I should have. And maybe I should have had an opportunity in the agenda to do that, and I didn't even think about it. But maybe we should have something that says what and how and when. And
we can all go look at the board.
We can lay it out.
Well, number one, that. Number two, I wrote it in my staff report.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. I send you also the mm-hmm. ED-101
right.
thing. But I think yeah. if you're going to be gone,
right.
we need to have ideas that who's filling in.
Right.
Who's taking care?
Right.
You
this
know.
Was the first time in the 6
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, if it's a one-day training.
Also, summertime is yeah. better than wintertime when we are hopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we just necessarily abandoned shift either. I talked to all the tenants. I made them aware of it. We had a master key that they were all privy to.
Yeah.
With,
it's just,
you know.
Well, you know, if the toilet overflows.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to have something different than a note on the door that says, "Gone from the 12th to the 16th."
Something more
yeah.
than that.
Yeah, okay. Because I mean, basically, when you read that, you think, "Well, what do we do?"
Well, we wrote down
yeah.
it was the fours.
Yeah,
yeah.
But basically, when two people, as me as a board member, assume the facility is covered, and you guys had it covered, but
yeah.
it wasn't in a way that I thought.
Okay, that's fine.
Yep.
We got
yep.
it. We got it.
I think it's an easy enough message.
You know, if Brianna's going to be in charge, you know, contact Brianna Buckingham, such
okay.
and such.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're right. We haven't had this hardly
no,
ever.
This is new.
This is new
yep.
new for us, so that would be great. Just to have a little bit more there. Any other questions about that or concerns or thoughts? Okay, I think that we have everything covered for our regular business, and I believe at this point we will go to public comment and welcome Jerry Spearing. He has some information to share with us today.
So, I'm hard of hearing, and I like to look at people when they talk. Would you mind if I sit at that chair?
Sure.
No,
absolutely.
Help yourself.
My scooter on.
Oh, certainly, sure.
So, thank you for this opportunity. I've, as part of the Buffalo Planning and Zoning Commission, we are assigned, the task of updating the 2007 Buffalo Comprehensive Plan.
and it's supposed to be updated every 5 years, and somebody added 5 and 7, and the month was 23, I don't know. So as we started reviewing it, back in 2007, one of the big needs was affordable housing. And so I said, well, and I asked this about the whole plan. I said, what's been accomplished on this plan that was put together for a lot of money? And in this big book, what happened? And nobody could tell me. In fact, they had so many big books back in the shelves waiting to be handed out. So I started asking around about affordable housing, and I realized, to my way of thinking, it's the most important problem the city has, and it's economic development. We have development going on naturally. I mean, not truly naturally, but, you know, with Love's Truck Stop coming in with 60 new jobs or 40 or whatever. Amy Holt, the care facility up at the hospital or the VA, Veterans Center, and schools running short of teachers and staff. We can't even get them because we don't have housing for them. And when I say we don't have housing, I don't mean it like going to build projects that have for, you know, government-funded housing. I mean, there's no place for them to live. Started talking to realtors. There was absolutely zero apartments at the time I talked to them. Houses, at the time that I interviewed several, there were under $300,000 in the entire county. Two of them were not livable. So you take a salary of, a wage of $20 an hour, which 2 years ago even I thought would have been extraordinary, and now is kind of common. That's only 40 some thousand dollars a year annual income. And loans, to get a loan for a house in the traditional way, I mean, there's other ways to get it, but traditionally, you have to get a a $45,000 a year job. You cannot qualify for a $300,000 home. And so it's a big problem. So in that light, I started working on it. I tried to enlist the board, but they don't work. I've interviewed all over everybody. I have 50 people talked in state and out of state, and Wyoming government agencies and other communities and what they've done, and tried to come up. I thought it was going to be easy. And the more I learn, the harder it is, and the more help I need. And so what I want to do quickly is just go through it. I think you were presented the thing, and hopefully you've had a chance to at least look at it. I try to establish the need, and then I try to establish what we want to do. And I think that this plan will allow the city and county to encourage affordable housing development without any outlay of city budgeted funds or county budgeted funds. We may want to, and each decision would, each project would be an independent decision, but we may want to use some city or county assets to assist or encourage or to, and those assets could be used in terms of long-term deed-restricted leases, you know, or infrastructure. Well, no matter what asset, so you could require.
Are you thinking property, the city or county?
Property, infrastructure, and actual services. So that's really the. For example, one of the projects that could happen right away is if they found a way for the city to reduce service costs. And the gentleman said maybe 3 years. Well, the city can't give away stuff. That's illegal. So they have to have a mechanism. And it, whether you're talking about land or infrastructure, you have to have a mechanism that isn't giving to private business something you don't give to every private business.
Right.
So that is a, in other communities, it's a foundation, it's a land trust, it's, the first time I heard it, was a port authority. And I said, port authority? Where are we going to have one of them? But it's a housing or port authority, and it's some legal definition about whatever. Or a 501c. And in Sheridan, they're using Habitat for Humanity. So donations can be run through that to projects. That's a special, I mean, that's a nice way to go. Red Lodge uses a foundation. They created a foundation. They take donations and get grants. They even employed a full-time grant writer. Jackson does everything, but that doesn't really apply to us in any way. They got billionaires that can donate. So this framework is about creating that agency or opportunity. And at this moment, after talking with lots of people, it looks like the Buffalo Housing Authority is probably the right legal, financial entity to do this. They are resistant to that notion. City attorney is quite, told me twice that's what you need to use. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I can't pass any magic wand. I don't know. So that's going to have to be worked out. More before that, I really need, for this plan, if this plan has merit, which is everywhere I've presented at the council and the commissioners meeting and hospital and school, everybody's basically for it. You know, I hear one or two things which I try to take into account. But I need to have it more complete to actually say, we need to do this. And I can't do, I'm not going to change the housing board. I got no authority to change anything. So I'm trying to get this plan to where I can say, here, we've even written a resolution. You pass this resolution to adjust the Buffalo Housing Authority or this resolution to do whatever. But I can't pass a resolution. All I can do is suggest. And when I say I really want it to be more than me. And so what this turned out to be is an opportunity to present this. Oh, let me add the county in here. So one of the things that happened while I was doing this, I sold my fifth wheel. And one of the most interested parties that ended up not doing it was a couple with a young child out of AC. Who had their rental place that they were renting, the family had it, needed it for their family, and they had no place to go. And so they were looking to buy a fifth wheel to live in. And I realized, whoa, it's the whole county. Well, if you look at the whole problem, it's the whole state. And so it really isn't just, but trying to keep the solution. Do you mind if I just ramble on a little bit more?
Sure.
We're good on time. You're fine.
You're good.
Mm-hmm.
So as I learned about this, it's the whole state. So then I started calling around the state to see what people and, you know, what government agencies were. And I went to the Wyoming Business Council, and they said, oh, yeah, that's a big deal. And we went, and they picked two towns. They did a big study. And they picked Lander and Lovell. And the end result, or the primary end result, was they sent out this thing and said, you need to adjust your zoning laws. That's it.
Zoning for what?
Exactly. Zoning for what and how and who cares? We can adjust zoning laws. You know, and the county doesn't have any. But, I mean, that was like, why did we have to go through all that for nothing? Well, then I went to the Wyoming Housing Coalition, and I got in on that meeting, and Bill Novotny is on there, and he invited me to attend, and it's a Zoom meeting, and I listened, and I asked a couple questions, and The end result was they're concentrating their efforts on educating the legislature to get the legislature to address this problem. I said, my God, that's years. You know, educate the legislature, you get them educated, and then there's a new election. That, what are you doing? Why waste all that time?
And they're doing such a good job with property taxes.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. And they're half the problem.
So I came back to say, you know, this has to be locally solved. We have to do this ourselves. Now, there are contractors, and I have a meeting at 11 that I got to get to. Is this out-of-state contractor has projects in 10 different Wyoming communities, has been developing for 20 years here, and has two new ones through the WCDA funding grants, and they have one in Powell and one in Gillette that they're working on right now. Well, they got the funding. They did the application last September. 1st of October had to be submitted. Grants awarded in January, February time frame, and start construction this summer. And that's, you know, 24 units in Powell and 30-some, I've forgotten the number, in Gillette. Brand new going on.
Apartments?
You look at their website, it's in that thing, the handout or whatever. They're very nice facilities. Some are just apartments. I heard that there are some others. I mean, I just looked at them and looked at what communities and didn't spend a lot of time on it. But they have, I've talked with them, they express a strong interest in coming into Buffalo. So we're having that meeting, but my primary thing with this first meeting is, what do we do? How do we do what's needed? And so after that, I'll know a little bit more focused. Maybe some of this applies, or maybe have to modify this a little bit. I don't know. But I think this fits to what kinds of things they're going to talk about. But the primary purpose of the meeting is I'm going to have a city councilor there. That, I got to get buy-in from the council and from the commissioners. And so when I come to the, one of the key things about the county is, the county doesn't have to participate at all. It doesn't have to do anything. But if they choose to, and this vehicle works, they could arrange whatever they want in terms of land or services or a property tax, something or the other, who knows. Whatever they can come up with to entice a developer to build something here, that they could do that. They could go through this vehicle and it'd work, but they don't have to be on the financial hook for anything Buffalo decides to do. You know, it'd just be, try to be separate. Just try to be this, have this try to be just an enabler. So that's what my goal is, and what I'm here for today is there's more than I can do, and it needs to happen, and I'm looking for help. And I have said this for several weeks now, and all of a sudden, with talking with Carrie and Claudia, there's some help right here. Would it be, I mean, it looks, it's part of economic development. Would it be possible to enlist some help from these two in completing this plan? Is that a any way that you could see to do that?
Did you see the plan? I sent it to you.
What do you envision that looking like?
What looking like?
Their help.
Their help.
What would you need?
Yeah. That would be, first of all, I need to, so that everybody I talk to has the same information, I need to make sure that we have a real closely analyzed need. You know, what are we talking about? We're talking about Love's Truck Stop, and we're talking about Crazy Woman Waters coming in. You know, which, by the way, if that happens over there, I can imagine people wanting to live down here, you know, rather than
big metropolis of Buffalo. But anyway, those are the ones that are in the paper. Well, Wonderful Company isn't yet. But all the other needs, you know, how many hotels and staff and restaurant staff and police, and how much need is there? Because I'd like to be able to go to people like you or primarily the county and the city and say, look, we need 50 units today. You know, we need, I don't know what the number is. I've got some numbers, but they're nowhere near complete. So I need help getting those numbers. The other thing I need to have done is, how do we modify Buffalo Housing Authority's mission to do this? Or, if that's not going to work at all, how do we create a trust, a 501c, a foundation, or another housing authority to do this? And so that takes research and legal input. You know, I got to have somebody, I got to have, I guess, Mr. Curvin, or I don't know who, I got to get some legal resources and get it pulled together. And so I look at that and with these two as being, you know, with one works on this part and one works on that part. And the other one is, I'd like to meet with more potential developers, see what they need, you know. And so I can put all this together and say, here it is. Enact this resolution to establish the Buffalo Housing Center mission, or whatever you're going to call it, and set that same thing to the county. And when that's established, won't need any more assistance. I'll drop it. I'm not looking for a job. I'm not looking to do anything. I just want to get it to the finish line and then let this agency take it on. And that it becomes, hopefully, self-sustaining. But for right now, it'd just be some short-term effort. I'm not sure how short-term this is. My effort's already been way harder and longer than I ever thought it would be. So that's kind of what I'm... Well, when I first wanted to present it to you, I just wanted to get it to you because I think it's something that the county and city should do. And then when it looked like there might be some resource here, I thought, ooh, maybe I can get some help. So that's what I'm looking to you for. And if you have any questions, I don't know. I think I was going to do them. I don't think I did.
So I have a question. I worked on this a lot in the past. And I hate to bring this phrase up because everyone goes pale. Trailer park? Is any discussion about a trailer court? Or I talked to the Wyoming Business Council, and they won't even visit with you about it. It essentially, they'll have a mass volume builder come in and build you 10 homes at 900 square foot with an unfinished basement for $120,000. But has there been any discussion in Buffalo or anything about like a trailer court or something where you can get a starter place to get going? Or
so my efforts initially, I thought we could just plan for something, you know, mm-hmm. apartment building, I don't know what. And then I realized that there wasn't the mechanism to do any of this, and so that's what my efforts become. I have purposely chosen not to address a specific project.
Okay.
Because I don't know what those are. I don't know how to do them.
Yeah.
I'm not a developer.
Yeah.
I'm talking to developers. I'm talking to one that's doing one, trying to build one in Buffalo. And the requirements for that starts to price it out of the market. But that's an ongoing thing. But that's not what I'm trying to do here. I just want to get people to be able to do something.
Okay. You're just trying to start the mechanism.
Yeah.
And Jerry, there hasn't been a needs assessment done at this time that you know of?
No, not that I know of. In fact, a needs assessment is required for every WCDA grant, mm-hmm. and that was interesting. So when somebody said we got to write grants, I said, well, I'll write a grant. You know, I come from the notion I can do anything.
Sure.
Until I read the grant. I can't write one of these. I don't even know how. And so then needs assessment come up. I said, wow, I'm doing that. So I found out those only cost about $50,000. Mm-hmm. So I'm not doing that either. So we have to have a needs assessment with every grant. But like the developer we're talking to today, he takes care of that. That's all part of that process. Now, there's money. I don't know. This grant thing is really complicated. But there's money for the writing of the grant. There's money for the needs assessment. There's all of that. I don't know how to get it, and I don't want to learn.
You said he would do a needs assessment?
He
would do his own, for his own.
He would do his own.
But for himself.
And WCDA requires an up-to-date needs assessment for every project, and it only lasts 6 months.
Project or for the community? For every project?
For the project, and they only last 6 months.
Oh.
They go out of date in 6 months.
It seems like we need one for the county.
For the county or the city.
Well, but, you know, I want to be careful. I don't want to spend $50,000, and then before we can get anything done, it's
expired.
Out of date.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm trying to do a needs assessment my way. Just ask people, what do we need?
Right, what do you need? How many employees are you down?
Yeah.
How many do you need at the new VA facility?
How many can I confidently go forward to people and say, look, we're going to be this short. We're already this short. And we're going to be more short. You know, just to spur the activity. But to satisfy government regulations, I can't write one of those.
Well, and it wouldn't be just the governmental. Private entities that are going to support something like that, too,
yeah.
are going to want an official needs assessment that's done. And maybe WCDA could even point you in the right direction. You know, if they require it, then certainly they know who might do those sorts of things.
You know what their first thing is on their website? You go to find out about a needs assessment. We will not give you a name.
Oh. That's helpful.
Yeah. Exactly. And that, you know, I mean, they won't.
And we wonder why things don't get done.
So could we talk to we being you, Jerry, at this time, see the other communities who have moved forward and check with them and see who they've used?
I've talked to lots of them, and it all depends on what they've done. For example, when I started this, Lander was held up as somebody that had done something. So I said, okay. So I called Lander. And, well, they don't know about it, what they've done. They have this development, Pond Development, that I'm talking to shortly, is built a project there 10 years ago, but all the staffs knew, all the mayor and all the council, all that's new, and they don't know anything. They don't know how it happened. And so I said, well, what are you doing? Because this gal was on the Wyoming Housing Authority, Housing Council, on that Zoom meeting I was talking about statewide. And I said, well, what are you doing there then? Oh, we're considering creating a port authority. That's as far as they are. Creating a port authority, which is, I found out later, after my shock, was it's a housing authority. So they're at the beginning of that. Jackson's the one that's really, you know, they've been doing it for 20 years. They're really moving. But they have some resources that, well, we don't even want to be able to have those resources because it requires too many billionaires living in your community. So this became a problem that I felt like I had to narrow down to Johnson County and try to find a way to get to move forward. The needs assessment is, this is the only way that I could figure out how to do it. You know, if we had $50,000 and go and buy one, or I mean, hire one done, that'd be great. But I don't want to ask anybody for that without having, and that's the key thing I've said in my plan. We want a well-constructed plan that I can present to people to say, this is what happens and why, and this is why we need the money. Because I fully believe if we had this well-constructed plan, I could go to Love's and say, you're bringing 60 new jobs. You know the housing's tight. Would you help out here? Donate, you know, for a grant writer or whatever the heck. And I hadn't started down that road until I visited with the school and the superintendent and the hospital. And they both offered, without asking, help, financial help, to work on this plan. And I thought, wow, that's great. That gives us some, we'll have some leeway if we can do that. And so I'd love to get a needs assessment. It'd get rid of this work, some of the work here, but I don't have that money. So
it does sound like we need a community-wide or county, whether it's county or city assessment. It sounds like when the projects come forward, they do their own assessment per project, but it does sound like we're lacking an overall assessment. And I mean, short of casually pulling information together, I mean, we don't write needs assessments. We try to find the funds if one needs to be done, and there is access to some of that. So well, it's as to whether or not, in terms of priorities, where this would fit.
Well, how beneficial would it be to do the casual mm-hmm. phone call and say, the hospital needs, you know, 10 more people of X caliber, the schools need, you know, 10 teachers and 5 administrators, and, you know, and just kind of go through. I mean, is that what you're looking for?
That's what I've started.
Right.
I have that, and I've started, and that's what I'm looking for.
Just to finish that.
Phone calls or personal visits to the hotels and the restaurants and sheriff and the police and just saying, you know, just give me a number. What kind of?
I think it's a number and a salary range.
Yeah. Well, they give those, you know, right away.
Yeah.
I mean, and they understand them. It's affordable housing.
Yep.
And so that's what we're looking for. If we were hiring a new CEO, I'm not worried about his housing.
Right.
But I also think it would shake down to some recommendations. And so in the end, I mean, people also want to know, well, as a result of all of this information, what is it that we actually need? And those recommendations are really important. If you determine, you know, you need this level in terms of cost, in terms of affordability,
yeah,
or it may reveal something different. It may reveal you need low income, or it may reveal you need multifamily, it may reveal single family. It's going to tell you, and I would hope, that then as collectively we look at that, we can go, here's what we need.
I think you're absolutely right. That would be the direct result of an official need statement.
To me, that is what needs to happen, and that would be
to get people to even think we need a needs assessment. That's where I felt like I had to do my version to get something forward, saying, you know, it isn't just gossip, it isn't just rumor. This is what we need to do, and one of the things is a need assessment. But by that time, I hope we have enough framework here. But have some money from,
the hospital and the school district, right? That's what you said. They're willing to help fund.
For people that are willing to help, you know, I hope we have enough money to then get this done. But right now, I'm just still trying to break through the barrier and actually get action happening, you know, because you present it to the council and present it to the commissioners. And the first word I heard back from the council, but through a second hand, was, well, I didn't understand what we need to do, you know. So I have to keep going forward, keep showing, and to me that need, quasi-needs assessment is part of that.
I would think that if you have this much positive feedback from several organizations,
right,
including city and county, that it would be very easy to put together a request for funding to do an official needs assessment. I mean, we would look at all of the support and the people who have expressed, and you would have letters, and I would think that we should be able to, not without much difficulty, move forward to that stage of getting a needs assessment, whether it's defined as for Johnson County or Buffalo and KC, but I would think you would just do one. And I don't, I mean, that to me would be the logical next step, providing maybe help in getting that piece pulled
yes.
off, so we have that, not just for you, not just for us,
yes.
but for countywide, so everybody has access. The hospital would have access. Everybody would have access to that information.
Yeah.
That might be the win. Not saying that this board wants to take the lead in being the entity, just saying that maybe this board would have enough resources within itself to help with that piece. And I don't know how the rest of the board would feel about that, but it's not a conversation that we haven't had. About housing.
I like how you put that, Shan, that whatever could be produced would be accessible by any entity. It would be public
mm-hmm.
information.
Absolutely.
And it would seem within the purview of this board to support something like that, that anybody then can take and run with.
Mm-hmm.
It's accessible to anybody, a developer or
mm-hmm.
or the hospital or the school district
mm-hmm.
That might be interested in moving forward with this. The city or county could move forward with it themselves as well, but you're providing something that would be, I guess, there'd be more benefit in it than the dollars that would go into making it happen in the first place.
Yeah, I agree completely with the freedom of information or the, you know, whatever we has produced
mm-hmm.
with getting that out to whoever needs it. And I don't care who runs this, who runs with it, who takes it on, but I'm not stopping until the ball is going downhill. Because so in 2006, they got 25 people approximately together. They spent 6 months studying the need for housing. And there's all names of officials. Mike Madden was even on that list. And so I found these. I found the notes. They had a big findings meeting at the end. I said, "What happened?" Nothing. So I'm not letting that happen.
Did nothing happen? I'm not sure. When did Ken Reed put in the mobile home, modular home park behind Flatiron? Flagstaff. When did that get built?
But
I can't remember. When did Glencoe Apartments get built?
But how did they get built?
But that, a private, that was Ken Reed, wasn't it? That developed all of that in conjunction with the city.
In conjunction.
I believe that they put in that park out there. Wasn't that in conjunction with the city? Because that got annexed in. And I can't remember what year that was.
I can find out.
I haven't found anybody that knows that. And I'm new enough to town, I don't know.
The Commerce Park was developed, and I'm just wondering if it was
could be
before or after.
Nope, everybody I've talked to can't remember that anything happened.
Well, no, a lot of things have happened, because even Tom, when you brought that up, I thought, well, Ken did that. He did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've all had conversations about where it's at and what it, you know, the access to it behind the light industrial park, but it's still there.
And the subdivision is called Greenleaf Estates.
Thank
and
you.
Kitty Merrill
yes.
has sold almost every piece of land.
Exactly.
Called Kitty Merrill. She'll give you all the history.
That was done several years ago, and I'm just wondering, yeah, there's more information there to get.
There, And anybody that knows anything, I'm happy to take notes because I don't know it. And I thought I'd know it. I even saw the people's name and asked them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What did happen?
Nothing happened. We used to own property out in the small industrial piece. It's the Buffalo Commerce Center, I think they call it, Buffalo Commerce Park. But that aside, I do think that's where this has to start in the terms of the project. I do also think that as a result of the needs assessment, they will also hopefully provide some recommendation in terms of the type of agency or entity that would best suited for our community. Because if you ask them that, whoever that consultant is, to provide that, then they'll provide that in that needs assessment. If you're looking for the best feasible path, they will hopefully come back with those recommendations as well. I mean, they'll collect all that hard data. They'll have the data, but they'll also probably have some anecdotal data, too, from talking to people and finding out, you know, how people feel about the issue. But then I think in the end, if they can give us the recommendations for the entity and also for the next steps, that would be beneficial.
Yeah, if somebody can find money to do an official needs assessment, I'm ecstatic. But I'm not asking for it because I think we can do it.
You would certainly think there's probably three or four of them stashed away in dust.
Yeah.
Well, that's the 06. Oh.
Right.
And they would certainly start with that.
They're not 15 years old.
Yeah.
Plus. Mm-hmm. So can this board support the spirit of what you're doing, you know, by means of economic development, by saying we could have Claudia, say, as the employee, or Carrie, look into who does needs assessments? I mean, is that something that we would be okay with and provide some options? That doesn't seem like a ton of research, but is that something we would be okay with?
Well, I'd like feedback from you guys. How does your schedule look, and is everything, does this seem like a feasible request to do a little bit of research on that and figure out who maybe would be available?
I think in the summertime, absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
Come wintertime, I don't think so.
Okay.
Then we're busy with other things bogged up there, but I think in the summertime we could sure... we would come up with we would need to work together on a list of some sort. So I think we should have some standard, you know, mm-hmm. and we've done this before in that office, kind of standardized, you know, how many do you have and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And once we have that established, then we can hit the streets a little bit and see.
Well, I'm
if
thinking
they're not too busy to talk to us because they're trying to do business.
I'm thinking more about the actual looking for the options of consultants to do a needs assessment and maybe funding for a needs assessment.
Yeah.
Hitting the streets. But I'm thinking actually taking this to the level that it probably needs to be, which is there funding for a housing needs assessment and who might be some consultants that actually have done them and do them that might be available to do them.
So have you talked to, you said you've talked to the school district and the
hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Have they told you what they need in employees?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the number?
I think it's in here.
You know, because I would think, I mean, they're the biggest employers in town.
They are.
Amy Holt,
you know, I know their
hospital said they need 25 to 40 jobs right now are open.
Yeah.
And they can't fill them. The nurses, CNNs,
right.
they find qualified applicants, but no housing.
Yes.
So I haven't gone like to the sheriff or the police, who they've recruited qualified policemen or sheriffs, and they leave. They don't hire on because they can't find a place to live. So.
Right. I would think there's enough there with, I mean, just that alone to do a full-on needs assessment. I mean, to take these guys and spread around town, I mean, I can tell you this, all the people I know that own businesses, they're all looking for help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a restaurant or a hotel or whatever.
That's what I hear, and so I feel like if I want to go to somebody like you and ask for money, I need better numbers.
Yeah.
But if you feel like there's enough information here, I'm ecstatic to not have to put that work in there. Because, I mean, it's just a phone call. Wow, there's 40 phone calls.
Well,
I'm trying to get
multiple
coordinated
phone calls to get them, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so you get somebody.
If you feel like that, I'll support you any way you can. Any way we want to try to find money. I don't know how.
Did they give you dollar figures, the hospital?
I can't remember who it was, the WCDA or one engineering company I talked to. Said it's $50,000.
Right. But you said that the hospital and the school district was looking to contribute.
25 to 40 people. I know a lot of those jobs.
Yeah, but I haven't asked them for money.
Said that they were willing to help fund it, though.
They're willing to help fund this project. And what did that mean? So when I first meant that, I first presented it to them, it was about getting a grant writer. And I forgot which one said, it's a great idea. We probably can contribute to that. Talk to his board, contribute to that. And then we could use the grant writer. Maybe we could share the grant writer, you know, after we get started on this project, and then use it for whether it was schools or the hospital, I don't remember now. Share that. Or hire a third-party service grant writer. So that's how that money thing got started. Mm-hmm. The grant writing, getting a grant and needing the needs assessment is all part of it. So I haven't put it all together and said, we got to get money and do this, this, and this, and this yet. And that needs to come along.
Madam Chair, may I make a comment?
Yeah.
So I think I'm kind of uniquely placed, maybe for some people in the room, that I attend a lot of public meetings. And I will say that I think something really needs to be emphasized, which is that if we want to retain the services as we are currently used to, not necessarily grow as a community, but if we want to be able to go to our local hospital, have our kids in our local schools, we have to act urgently on this. I've sat in a number of public meetings recently where critical services, not just those peripheral services, but critical services are now being impacted.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at a meeting where the police chief was raising the alarm about actually having sufficient numbers of people in dispatch. If you can imagine a community that doesn't have enough people to dispatch emergency services, what does that look like? This is not just about encouraging a better truck stop and so on. This is not just about a restaurant being able to open a couple more days a week or so on, or that you have a few more tables served. I think that if we are looking at what we have and we want to retain it, this is absolutely the crux of the issue, and we cannot get, for other reasons as well, but we don't have, we're looking at having a bus driver crisis for our schools, and those things that we expect and want to happen and the services we want to provide to our children are not going to be in place. We're going to be looking at a whole bunch of different things, and as former chair of planning and zoning, really, part of the needs assessment is going to be looking at what we have, but more importantly, what we don't have. And I think one of the things we don't have is we do not have sufficient encouragement for developers to come in to our community. Other communities are working at this, and they will, and we will lose out if we do not act. And I think this is a crisis that is coming down really hard at us. And that, you know, we cannot all point the finger and say that it's somebody else's. It has to be, we all have skin in this game, and we need to act.
100%. Thank you.
The trouble I had with it was, is going by his numbers of an income, so we need a $150,000 home for people to live. Well, and then you try to find a contractor that will build, $150,000 home.
There isn't.
Of any form.
You can't get a modular home on a lot for that.
No.
Well, I think it comes down to, you know, apartments, you know.
Yeah.
Multi-family. So could we, I agree with Kate, it's an acute issue we've got right now.
Mm-hmm.
Being that Claudia said summer is a better time to look at these things prior to the next board meeting, would you think, Carrie, it would be okay to have four or five different companies or organizations that provide assessments, needs assessments?
Housing specifically. But then if there are funding sources available, it may be as simple as the business council. I don't know.
I was just thinking.
May be that easy to say, that same needs assessment process, maybe it would apply. I don't know.
I think one of the things that will come up from this is people are going to go, oh, shit, we need how many homes? Because I think the level of people is probably hundreds. Not double digit, but it's, I'm sure it's hundreds of employees that people are looking for in the county, especially if we look at a couple of these newer projects, And
well, you look at two places, Love's and the nursing facility, and you're already at 100.
Right. And then you go to the hospital, and then you go to the school, and then you go to the police department, and then, it's like...
It's epidemic.
Yeah.
So is that a good way to move forward then?
I would say that it is. So we're really just...
I don't want to pin everything on the needs assessment, because that takes too long. Because it won't be short.
Nope.
Spend that kind of money, it'll be several months. I want to keep going. I don't want to wait for them to tell us to get a housing authority. I want to get a housing authority. And the needs assessment it kind of all dovetails. But if we wait for one piece, then we'll be back at this next year.
This is just helping with one piece.
Yes.
And it's not to stop any effort. I think that you are, the path that you're on, I would say would be staying on it. But in terms of just getting those hard numbers and getting the recommendations,
that'll be key. That's one key point, key thing, one key thing. But I'm going to keep going because I need that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talked about getting the money, getting the funds, I'm not sure exactly how to go about that. Go back to the hospital and to the schools and say, okay, we're ready for some cooperation and funds. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet.
Well,
to sell that.
I was thinking more that we would see if there is a grant source already established for a housing needs assessment in terms of planning dollars available, not necessarily going to private entity first. Okay. First seeing if there already is established a mechanism to get some planning dollars. And if there is, then we can use those for a needs assessment that will benefit the community and the county. That would be utilized.
Okay.
I'm not talking about going to all your
cause
folks or partners.
I don't quite feel
saying,
ready to go out.
No, we wouldn't actually go out at all at this point. This would just be looking to see if there's funding available and looking to see who is doing these kinds of assessments in terms of consultants, who's done them before, it's really just gathering that information before we would even go the next step of even applying.
Okay.
We would gather. We'll just gather and bring to the next board meeting what we gather. That's it.
Okay.
And then we can make a decision if we want to, if we find a good source for some funding, and then we may need to come back to you and say, okay, now in order to get this application together, we need this, and this. Talk to your people so you get letters of support, whatever we need to do, and then we can take it to the next step.
Yeah.
As of right now, we just need to identify if there's funding and if there is available consultants that people have used that are available, that aren't a year out.
Has anybody looked at Sheridan, how they're doing? Because they're in the same boat.
They're on the list. Yeah, they've been
there. I think they're five steps ahead of Buffalo.
Sure,
in that case,
because
what I hear,
they are sort of.
But they have at least a committee working on it currently.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
It's statewide. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So one of the first things that was said, well, go find out what Sheridan's doing. And so I went over to Sheridan, I've forgotten the names, like all these names. But anyway, the housing thing that they're doing in Sheridan. They got $3 million from the ARP, the federal government.
Okay.
And Sheridan got $3 million, or $1.5 million, and the county got $1.5 million. And they set it aside in their coffers, and they put together this commission to do this, council, I guess it is. And I went to their third meeting. They meet once a month, and they went to their third meeting. And they had already elected officers, but that's about it. And so this was 3 months into it, having the money. And they have set up only to spend that $3 million and then disband. They have no forward-looking thing about the solution. And that's great. I'm glad they got the money. I'm glad they're doing it, and they're going to do it. But they're using Habitat for Humanity and the Sheridan Bunch to funnel this money, like what I'm talking about, this agency to do this. They're using that. You know, and they said, oh, I'm sorry, your Buffalo one disbanded. You can't, they're not using that. So that became not an option for us. Unless we created our own somehow. I don't have no idea how to do that. But Sheridan is doing a lot, and I haven't dug hard enough to know how all the other housing is happening. But it's not that part. There's something else happening. But that's some of the other work that could be done. I just can't get to it all.
It may not be coordinated. It may just be independent developers and builders.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's
a lot of
private.
Yeah, just capitalism, people coming in and building. But if we're trying to have some sort of a coordinated plan, then I would say.
Well, if you're looking for the county and the city to assist at some point with the developer, mm-hmm. we've got to bring them
then
on
that's
board.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
I appreciate you thinking about this, Jerry. I mean, because it is such a thing, and taking your own initiative to come and talk with us.
Well, thank
that's
you.
A ton of work.
Yeah, it is a ton of work. It's a big project.
Much bigger than I ever thought.
Yeah, I bet. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll do that, and at the next meeting, maybe we'll just have that information, and then we can decide where we are with it and how we want to move forward in terms of the likelihood of being successful, I guess, if we can come up with something.
Can I meet with you on whenever or talk to you about how you're doing with that?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, kind of have to.
Okay.
Now, this is wonderful. I have I've asked for help a bunch of times, and you get kind of blank stared.
I stopped you. I came
no,
to your
I
house.
Am. Yes, you did. Thank you. And this makes me happy.
Okay. That sounds good. So anybody else for public comment? Do you have an update for us today?
Fiscal year begins July 1st. We just submitted our budget for 2023-24 to Jody Talcamp and county commissioners Monday or Tuesday, I believe our accountant did. I do have some copies if anybody wants to see the Johnson County Tourism Association's budget.
Yeah.
We have completed and are in process of purchasing a lot of marketing and advertising. The most important of which I think in this room you'll appreciate hearing is that we are redoing vinyl on 7 of our largest billboards.
Oh, good.
The Spearfish one, as well as 6 others in Wyoming. Most importantly, the one down in Douglas.
Oh, good.
Which is going to direct folks to KC.
Oh, nice.
It's going to have a beautiful photo of the land, the wall, I believe, but it also is going to have Good Ride Cowboy on the actual billboard to try to encourage people to come into KC. So please, feedback, gentlemen, from the locals or any tourists you meet along the way in town who noticed the billboard and decided to pull off of KC.
Yep, thank you.
Additionally, we are running for 6 months on Wyoming Public Radio with underwriting messages for KC and Buffalo. We are not utilizing the Johnson County name on the billboards or in our public radio advertising. Mm-hmm. We are specifically catering and mentioning the towns of Buffalo and KC.
Makes sense.
South Dakota Public Broadcasting, 6 months of underwriting messaging there. We're doing long-term contracts for advertising, print advertising in True West Magazine, Rider, which is a motorcycle-based magazine, and South Dakota Magazine. And interestingly enough, we're making some headway on the national and international tour group. We have two FAMs coming in, a group from Scandinavian and Icelandic countries will be coming to Buffalo and KC on October 3rd and 4th, about 14 of them, doing quick stops at a number of different places in Johnson County. And then on July 31st, we have, and this is all affiliated through Wyoming Office of Tourism, who's organizing and asking us to make the specific plans. But we also have a group of four national-based tour operators that do bus tours who are investigating putting together an itinerary including Johnson County, Buffalo, KC, and they're coming on the 31st. And we've been messing with the things we got in the works.
Sure.
Happening.
If you can share the budget, and then she can share it with us if you want, then it's just information that you can look at.
I have two paper copies if somebody wants to take it away now, and I can email it to
that's fine.
You.
Yeah, I can just take a paper copy, and I'll send it to the board.
Okay.
And then, no, that sounds great. The other billboards I heard were going to the chamber.
We have four others, as Claudia and Carrie know. We have four other small billboards that are on I-90 and between Sheridan and Buffalo that the JCTA has jurisdiction over. They're on private lands, so they're not registered through the Wyoming Department of Travel and Transportation.
Oh, right.
Those are going to be up for discussion with our board in the future. Probably no plans to change anything in the next 3 months. Our board members are all in the tourism industry for the most part, and they're very, very busy right now. But the rest of the billboards, the chamber is aware they are their responsibility. They have the leases. They will, at some point in time, probably make decisions about whether they want to retain them. Hopefully do so, maybe in a partnership with businesses. Right now the JCTA is concentrating on those seven big ones around the state to try to draw people in.
Sounds good. Okay. Thank you. Sounds great. Anybody? Anything else? Barry, got anything?
Just happy to see you all from our little town here.
Oh, my gosh. And we will be back. Yep.
Well, straight to the invasion now.
Yeah, how's the creek? Still
yippee.
Did you want me to mention about that grant?
Yes, I'd like to. Please, that would be
like
great.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Putting on a different hat for a minute. So, in my capacity as the principal of New West High School, I wrote a grant. That's one thing. I've got like two usable skills, and writing is one of them. And so I wrote a grant to the John P. Elbogen Foundation, which is a Wyoming foundation. They have a grant called the Graduate Grant, and I managed to procure $70,000 for 3 years, so $210,000, to grow our culinary program. As we know, we've got plenty of restaurants in Johnson County, northeast Wyoming, that could use a little more assistance. What a good thing for the students that I work with to be able to gain some usable skills and some certifications to be able to work in some restaurants. So at present, we have one culinary class, and we're going to develop that program so that we've got a sequence of three CTE classes, as they call them, so that students can graduate with the highest level of certification for working in the restaurant industry, which is through the National ProStart program. So it's going to be over some time. This next year is sort of a development year.
Sam Bayless, who's our chef instructor, and I are going to work together on developing all of those things. But so we will be utilizing the teaching kitchen a little bit more this next year, and then the plan would be that in the next coming school year, it seems weird to say it, but the 24-25 school year, that we would have students in the teaching kitchen from 8 to 3:30, basically, so all day, mm-hmm. and for the year after that, for sure, at least. And one of the things that we're going to be doing specifically, because it's useful for our students to cook for somebody, we are going to be utilizing the goods that we get, and the students are going to be creating ready-to-heat meals that we're going to be providing them through the Bread of Life food pantry. Oh, and nice. So that's not a service that they have there right now, but we're cooperating with the Friends Feeding Friends organization, who just got a new food truck, so to transport things from Bomber Mountain to the Bread of Life food pantry, yet to be determined exactly what that looks like. But it will be a very good thing for students. They'll be serving the community in a way. It'll be useful that way. They're gaining those skills. They're learning how to cook. So it's really a win-win-win if there's such a thing. But so that is of interest to this board, since we'll be using the facilities a little bit more.
That's great.
Teach them some business management stuff, too.
Yes, we can use some of that. One thing that we do require of all of our students at our high school is to take a class in financial literacy.
Yeah.
So that's different from the traditional school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're getting there.
Awesome. Nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's all I got. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. And I think we have covered it all.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Yeah, perfect.
Second.
Perfect. All in favor.
Aye.
John, you motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
Second.
Yes. Everybody makes a